The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wanna take a ride? Broadcasting from the sprawling outskirts of the Florida Everglades, in the intellectual wilderness of South Lauderdale, the outer regions of humanity that people move to just because it doesn't snow. This is the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, it is Friday. Thank dog, it's Friday. I've never needed a weekend as badly as I do now. I'm Nicole Sandler. Welcome to the live show. We are live at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, on NicoleSandler.com, on YouTube, on our TuneIn channel. And the reason I'm laying this out here now is because I'm asking, especially the people that listen or watch the live program. You know, since the Randy Rhodes actually moved her broadcast time back from 4 until 3 Eastern, it's really cut into, you know, the number of viewers we have on YouTube and the number of people who listen to the live program. Since I follow her on the Progressive Voices Network at 6 in the recorded version, I'm wondering if maybe we should just move the live show to 5 p.m. Eastern to Pacific. I'm leaving it up to you guys. So I'll put a poll up on the website or something, but I'm asking especially you guys in the YouTube chat room if that would be more convenient for you. Anyway, weigh in. Send me an email. That's the best way to make sure I'll see it. Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. Again, I'm just I'm throwing the question out there. Should I move the live program from 3 Eastern to 5 Eastern? So that we're not, you know, going head-to-head against Randy. So let me know, okay? It's a thought, something I'm considering. All right, it is Friday. Thank goodness today, as much as I'm, you know, I was willing to do whatever I needed to do to help out Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen, today's the last day. Oh, I'm guest hosting their show, thankfully. I told Brad I was here for as long as he needed it. What happened is on September 11th, his father took very ill. What happened is he got suffered a massive stroke. And so his parents were in Arizona visiting there from their home in St. Louis. Brad and Desi immediately threw everything into the car, drove to Arizona to be with his father. And they were there in limbo, not knowing what was going to happen until the 24th. When his father passed away. So, as you know, I've been holding down the fort for them. They're back in LA now dealing with fires. Oh my goodness. So anyway, well, today's the last day I'm pulling double duty. So things get more back to normal for me anyway. So, just throwing all this out there. I'm glad we've made it to the end of this week. and we move forward. So, anyway, your feedback on the showtime for the live program will be appreciated. Again, nothing else will change. The podcast will still be there as it always is. The YouTube video will still be there as it always is. The only difference would be that we would be live on Progressive Voices Network instead of airing the podcast. And so the live show would change. Anyway, so weigh in on it. Let me know your thoughts and we'll take it under consideration. Take it under advisement, as they say. All right. I was saving the cold open from Stephen Colbert's show from Monday night for today. And I was about to use it. And then I get a message from our pal, Boca Brittany Summers. And she says, "Hey, I took the Colbert song and I extended it a little bit." So today's funny is a collaboration, as it were, between the writers at The Late Show with Stephen Colbert and Boca Brittany Summers. So take it away, Boca Britt.
Cry so real. One can report on your crane phone call. You can verify that
All right, so Britt took the Colbert bit and just extended it, made it more of an actual song. A good way to start the show on a Friday. So there's so much going on. Now, she wasn't here on Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh will join us today. But before we get to her, there's so much news going on, so let me give you at least a little bit of it. Okay, we'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it
fucking
live.
Thing. We'll do it live. Fuck.
Okay.
I'll write it and we'll do it live.
All right. So, lots of breaking news today. What else is new? It's a day ending with a Y. We were kept in suspense as to whether or not the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, would show up this morning for her closed-door testimony in the House impeachment inquiry because of the letter sent from the White House counsel last week that proclaimed there would be no cooperation. But Marie Yovanovitch did show up at the Capitol this morning as scheduled. And within an hour or so of her testimony beginning, her opening statement began to be reported on by the media. I still don't have a transcript of the opening statement, so let me share with you a few things that I found on it. One account from Twitter reports that Yovanovitch said that her departure came as a direct result of pressure the president placed on the State Department to remove her. Another said that in a broadside to the Trump administration, she warned, quote, harm will come when private interests circumvent professional diplomats for their own gain, not the public good. Another quote, only interests that will be served are those of our strategic adversaries like Russia. Uh-huh. Adam Goldman at the New York Times wrote, Yovanovitch delivered a scathing indictment of this administration's conduct of foreign policy. She warned that private influence and personal gain have usurped diplomats' judgment, threatening to undermine the nation's interests. So it went like that. And she apparently went off. She was ready for them. I can't wait. You know, it really sucks that this was behind closed doors. After all, this is part of the impeachment inquiry. I get that these are depositions, but all these hearings need to be done in public on live television. And I hope they figure that out pretty soon. By the way, remember earlier this week, the current U.S. ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, you know, the guy who's a real estate guy, go figure, who donated $1 million to Trump's inaugural committee to buy his post as U.S. ambassador to the European Union. He has no diplomatic background, no political background. He's a landlord like Trump who has money and he bought his seat. So he didn't show up. I think it was Monday or Tuesday when he was originally scheduled. Well, my, how things have changed. Today, Sondland signaled that he will testify before the House 1 week from today. Right? Or one next Thursday. I'm sorry, a week from yesterday. So this is in compliance with the congressional subpoena issued after he failed to appear earlier this week. But there was more bad news for Trump today. Yep. This morning, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit ruled against him. It was a 2-1 ruling, the court upholding the broad investigative powers of Congress, rejecting Trump's bid to block lawmakers from subpoenaing his financial documents. So in this case, that means that Congress can seek 8 years of Trump's business and financial records from his accounting firm. It's getting better and better. So as much as, and there's more breaking news today. It keeps coming. And it's Friday. So that means late this afternoon, more bombshells will drop. But there's the bombshells from yesterday are still exploding, right? The two men who helped Rudy Giuliani dig up dirt on Joe Biden and his son in the Ukraine, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, as you know, we talked about this yesterday, they were arrested Wednesday night at Dulles Airport, where they were attempting to leave the country. They had no return tickets or no plans to come back. So they were indicted on 4 counts. The indictment alleges an elaborate scheme to help an unnamed Ukrainian government official and a person who's described as having Russian roots gain access to U.S. politicians and government officials. The U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York is a guy named Jeffrey Berman. Now, he holds the same position that Rudy Giuliani used to hold in New York, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. Oh, karma, perhaps. Anyway, Jeffrey Berman made the announcement of the indictments yesterday.
Parnas and Fruman were arrested around 6 p.m. last night at Dulles Airport as they were about to board an international flight with one-way tickets. As alleged in the indictment, the defendants broke the law to gain political influence while avoiding disclosure of who was actually making the donations and where the money was coming from. They sought political influence not only to advance their own financial interests, but to advance the political interests of at least one foreign official, a Ukrainian government official who sought the dismissal of the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine.
Interesting, right? And this keeps unfolding. One has to wonder how these two knew they were going to be arrested. They had lunch with Rudy Giuliani Wednesday afternoon, then went to the airport where they had one-way tickets, reportedly, to Vienna. They were fleeing. Rudy was supposed to meet them in Vienna, apparently. Methinks Rudy Giuliani is next. He did say at the end of that press conference that this was an ongoing investigation. Yes, there will be another shoe or a few to drop. The other big story that was a headline this morning, of course, so much has happened since then, but the big headline this morning was that the whistleblower was not alone. At least four national security officials were so worried by the Trump administration's attempts to pressure Ukraine for political purposes that they raised concerns with a White House lawyer both before and immediately after Trump's July 25th call with the Ukrainian president. So, whistleblower was not alone. The nature and timing of the previously undisclosed discussions with the National Security Council legal advisor John Eisenberg indicate that officials were delivering warnings through official White House channels earlier than previously understood, including before that July 25th phone call that precipitated the whistleblower complaint and the impeachment inquiry. Within minutes of the call, senior officials, including National Security Advisor John Bolton, were being pinged by subordinates about problems with what the president had said to President Zelensky of Ukraine. Bolton and others scrambled to obtain the rough transcript. It was already being locked down on that highly classified computer network. That's directly from the Washington Post. It's all about the cover-up. In this case, though, the crime was as bad as the cover-up, as you know, opposed to Watergate. There's a lot of other stuff. We'll get to it with Laffy. One story I want to make sure that I do get to, and we will talk to Laffy about it, is what's going on in California. This week, California's largest utility, Pacific Gas and Electric, turned off the lights for more than 2 million people. In Northern California, is their attempt to prevent power lines and equipment from sparking wildfires as the Santa Ana winds pick up. Well, go figure. Ironically enough, Northern California, knock on wood laminate, at last check was just fine. But a very fast-moving wildfire is sweeping through Los Angeles County, prompting mandatory evacuation orders for more than 100,000 people. Multiple homes have already been destroyed in the Saddle Ridge Fire. It began in the San Fernando Valley's Sylmar neighborhood at around 9 p.m. last night and grew quickly and overnight. When those Santa Ana winds pick up, this is what fans the flames of the fire, and it spread so quickly. By 2 a.m., at 2 a.m. Friday morning, the fire had spread to 1,600 acres. By 3:30 a.m., it was more than 4,600 acres. It's insane. So, you know, we know Laffy was impacted by the fires last year. It wasn't even a year ago. And this is, I guess it's October. This is the beginning, the official fire season. This is when the Santa Ana winds pick up. This is when fire season is in, you know, early fall. in California, I just know I've got a number of friends who are in the line of this fire, and my heart goes out to them. All right, with no further ado, you know what? Let's get Laffy on the line, shall we? Because there's so much to talk about today. So,
and now it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes. I'm a little behind on the video today. Every Tuesday, we get together with Laffy. She couldn't be with us this past Tuesday. So, you know, what the hell? We're doing a Friday party. First, we got to get her on the line. Hello?
Oh, yes. You've reached the Rudy Caludi hotline.
All right. I love rhyming hotlines.
Me too. Yeah. Especially on Fridays. Mm. Press one if you think Rudy has gone from America's mayor to America's betrayer.
Okay, that works.
Mm-hmm. See, it rhymes. Uh-huh. Press two if you think Trump's already got Rudy's next official position all lined up. The fetal position in a jail cell next to Michael Cohen.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Press three if you heard Trump's former national security advisor quote from former Senator Judd Gregg's article, How to Impeach Oneself. And the third way was to hire Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, God.
That's true. That part is true.
It is true.
Yes, that was an actual article.
Really?
And in that article, it didn't come out and say, hire him and you're screwed, but it said it in so many words.
Wow.
That
well,
it's for realsies.
I mean, all you have to do is listen to the man. He's lost his marbles. I got to tell you, you know, I moved to New York almost straight out of college. I worked at a radio station down in the Tampa Bay area where we went to school. But then I moved up to New York. I went around, you know, pounding the pavement. I was offered a part-time job at a talk station, WMCA, for $8 an hour. Now, granted, this was in 1981. So $8 an hour was, you know, probably worth 10 in today's dollars, just saying. Rudy Giuliani at the time was the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. He was, you know, cramping down on crime. And I worked for a right winger. I produced the Bob Grant Show. And Bob loved Rudy Giuliani. The point I'm getting at, though, he was a serious prosecutor. He wasn't this Nosferatu crazy character who was just almost more batshit crazy than the president.
Right. But you know what really pisses me off?
What?
Everybody calling him America's mayor.
God.
Because of 9/11.
Now, America's moron. He's America's moron.
Yeah, well, he
moron.
Wasn't. He's the one that failed to provide the first responders with working walkie-talkies, which ended up in death.
That's right.
So I get so sick of this. Oh, well, 9/11, he was so amazing. And no, he wasn't amazing. I did a whole long article. I think I even posted. I might have posted it. No, I didn't post it at your website. Maybe I did. I don't remember. But it was called, Hey, Rudy, Can You Hear Us Now?
Uh-huh.
And it was it was originally something I wrote for Cliff Schechter back when we first started blogging together. And then I kept reviving it because people keep lionizing Rudy like he did something right for so long. He did not.
Right. No. He's an embarrassment. And he was always, you know, even when he was a serious prosecutor, he was always a bit of an asshole. You know, mm-hmm. he was. So that hasn't changed. But he wasn't as off the
right,
crazy.
Right.
He just wasn't as insane. And now, I mean, all you have to do is look at him. He's just frightening looking. And it looks like his eyes are spinning in, you know, opposite directions. Right?
Like a cartoon.
Yes. I'm so glad you get me. I'm so glad I can say things like that and you understand what I'm talking about.
Right. I knew exactly what you meant. I love that. That was a great mental picture.
Cool.
And I have to answer August West in chat. No, he was not good on 9/11.
No,
on
he was
9/11.
Not. No, he was not.
Because what I just said, he didn't provide the equipment the first responders needed. He was responsible for not allowing them to have properly working walkie-talkies that they needed when they were jumping into the towers.
They
so,
couldn't
no,
communicate. They didn't. They couldn't. The firefighters couldn't communicate with the police officers.
It
was right, and that was one of the big problems. That's why so many of them died.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes, he may have been, psychologically good for people. Maybe he said some good words and he's walked in front of crowds and he's
anybody could have done that. Sorry.
Of course. Of course.
Yep.
Anyway, we have tons. Can we get right to the Tweety Pies?
Oh, we can. Let loose the birdies. I love it how that works.
Welcome to my Tweety Pies.
Tweet, tweet. Okay, I want to go right into something you just covered.
Okay. Which one?
This is a tweet from Dan Lavoie from Progressive Communications Fighting for Justice and Equity, former New York State AG senior advisor. Okay.
Oh, okay.
He said, breaking. Trump has gotten his hat handed to him in three separate major court cases today.
Yes.
Okay, so here they are in order, so you can actually hear them all together, not in order, but just all together. Breaking, Trump loses again in court, this time from D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals in his lawsuit trying to stop the House from issuing a subpoena to get his financial records. That's what you just covered.
Yep.
Bing, bing. Okay, then breaking, federal judge blocks the Trump administration's public charge rule change on immigration, and that is which would restrict the ability of immigrants to get permanent residency if they are likely to receive public benefits. He blocked, judge blocked that.
Yep, yep.
And then breaking, a U.S. federal district court has ruled that Trump violated the law by declaring a national emergency in order to build a border wall.
Yeah, Trump's not having a good Friday.
He's having a real bad day, considering Yovanovitch or whatever her name is. Did I say that right?
Yovanovitch, absolutely.
Yeah. She blew him to smithereens. I mean, the thugs in that White House just got a mouthful from her. So, I'll see if I have more on that. I can't remember because I was like madly collecting tweets because so much was breaking. But the three court things, the three court decisions, one I believe, I don't know, maybe more were temporary, but they were rulings against him.
Yep.
And let's hope.
And
because
when they come out
in the Supreme Court
in quick fashion like that, one after the next,
yes.
It's like, okay, keep them coming. It's Friday. We get a lot of news breaking on Fridays for whatever reason. Hopefully it keeps coming like that.
Right. Let's hope so. I think just the news cycle, because it's on a Friday, it's going to run all weekend. And the news cycle is this bam, bam, bam against him.
Yep.
And as I go on, I think I tried to put most of my late breaking tweets first, and then I kind of went down ways in terms of chronological order. But let's see. I can't remember what I've done, but let's go
we'll
on with
out.
This. Okay, yeah. So here's something. This is the opposite of what Trump promised. U.S. expected to announce new troop deployment to Middle East, and then AP Joyce, Andrew Paul Joyce, a producer on MSNBC, said, the president's whole stated rationale for withdrawing from Syria is supposedly an unqualified commitment to keeping U.S. troops out of the Middle East. Well, no, that didn't happen. He's sending about 1,800 troops in. I've got more on that, I think. Yeah. Okay. So
I've got that too. Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay. We'll cover this one then. Steve Herman, White House Bureau Chief for Voice of America, said U.S. to send thousands of additional troops to Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
An angry staffer says, translation, we can continue to wag the dog with Iran, but we can't support our Kurdish allies.
Yeah, exactly. So first of all, two things happened this morning. The Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, had a phone call this morning with the Turkish Minister of National Defense and, quote, made it clear that the United States opposes Turkey's uncoordinated actions, adding that the Turkish strikes place at risk the progress in combating ISIS and that its action risks serious consequences for Turkey. Donald Trump spoke to the president on Sunday and gave him his blessing to do this.
Right. And then in today's I wish I could remember which official said that, but how concerned Trump is.
Yeah.
How concerned he is.
Oh, sure.
Here's something that Spencer Ackerman, who I just love.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a really great comment from him on Twitter. He said, Department of Defense makes it official, two fighter squadrons, an air expeditionary wing, two Patriot batteries, and a THAAD anti-missile system are deploying to Saudi Arabia. Fun fact, the presence of U.S. military personnel in Saudi Arabia prompted Osama bin Laden's 1996 declaration of war.
Ay, ay, ay.
That's an interesting little remembering memorabilia fun fact. I wish I could talk.
Yes, it is.
Fun fact. Nobody else pointed that out.
Now, David, my husband, just handed me a breaking news item, and I'm looking to see if I can find it anywhere. I don't know where he saw this, but the note reads, from the Washington Post, UN fails to pass a resolution condemning Turkey's military option in Syria as the resolution is vetoed by the U.S. and Russia.
Yes, yes. I tweeted that yesterday.
Oh, my. Okay. I didn't see that yesterday. Well,
I wish I'd saved that one. That totally slipped my mind.
We vetoed it? The U.S. vetoed the condemnation of Turkey? Okay. Then I don't know what Mark Esper is doing calling the Turkish Minister of National Defense, because the president gave Erdogan his blessing. And this is all nonsense. This is bullshit.
Well, as usual, one branch says, or one agency says one thing, and he says another. It's always like this. He comes out with some impulsive assholery, and then his own people come out and contradict him. This happens every single time.
Constantly. Yep. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, so, this is talking out of both sides of his ass.
Exactly. Just chalk it up to how things are done now. It's such chaos, and that is exactly what Putin wants, exactly what Trump is handing him.
Yeah.
And he's still determined to lift all the sanctions. So we'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, Josh Rogan is reporting in a tweet, and then I have a little comment. Mnuchin holds a press conference to say the U.S. is not sanctioning Turkey, but could if it wanted to, facepalm. And I said, in other words, he's grabbing the headlines when there's devastating news about Trump and his thugs. In other words, we may sanction Turkey. So I'm going to keep the headlines on Turkey. Maybe we'll give him a little slap on the wrist. And while all this other devastating news has come out on Trump. So he took stage. He had a little presser in one of the rooms that they have the little presidential seal in the background and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Little White House press rooms.
Right.
And tried to grab headlines. Meanwhile, this is a little follow-up now on the D.C. Circuit's decision about the financial records and so on.
Yeah, yeah.
Zoe Tillman of BuzzFeed News. Zoe Tillman, who's really good.
Yeah.
She says, so what now? Well, Trump could ask the full D.C. Circuit to rehear the case, but this is, again, about his financial stuff, or he could try to go straight to SCOTUS and ask the justices to take up the matter. We're also still waiting for the Second Circuit to rule on another subpoena fight regarding Trump's records. So this isn't over. And then on top of that, Rick Wilson, the really funny
Republican, right?
Yeah. If only he was on our side, because he's really good when he's on our side. He says, don't get all triumphant about Trump having to churn over his tax returns quite yet. One, he'll appeal until the last dog dies.
Yeah.
Two, if he loses at the Supreme Court, he'll defy the order because he's lawless and Barr will back him up. Three, fire at Mazars. In other words, they'll destroy something. So, it's really, the court rulings are going in our favor right now. But that's just the beginning of what happens next.
Yep. Yes. And remember, how many judges Donald Trump has appointed?
Yes. Absolutely. Uh-huh. And even if one of them magically says, we're going to rule against you, until it gets to the Supreme Court, these rulings are great, but the Supreme Court's the one that's going to decide. And somebody said, let's see what Kavanaugh does now. I can't remember which. I think it might have been Zoe Tillman. But
Yeah. It scares me.
It scares the hell out of me. And that's, again, one of the reasons I want to move to Canada. Because no matter what victories we get, the courts are stacked against us for decades. And I don't want to be here during those. And one of the things that they're deciding, that the Supreme Court is going to be deciding, is gay rights.
Yes, that's the case they heard the other day as to whether or not the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 protects people from employment discrimination based on their sexual identity or preferences or whatever. It should have nothing to do with it. But
exactly. And since my twins are gay, I don't want them living in a country that doesn't respect their rights.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I have a real problem with this. Horrible. This is, you know, this hits home.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me about it. It's horrific. The thought of it is just horrific. You know, I had Tom Hartman on the show earlier this week, and because he's got a new book out about the Supreme Court in his Hidden History series. And what he talks about is how the Supreme Court, when this nation was born, when the Constitution was written, didn't have the right of judicial review. It was not up to the Supreme Court to decide whether or not a law was constitutional. If it was passed by Congress, That's their bailiwick. That's their job to determine the constitutionality. That's not up to the Supreme Court to interpret that. They have glommed on to so much more power than the Constitution originally gave them. That's part of why he calls it the hidden history of the Supreme Court and the betrayal of America. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's what we're talking about. And you know, we discussed how Obama really screwed up by not taking that bully pulpit every fucking day and demanding that the Senate have hearings on his Supreme Court nominee.
Absolutely.
Right? And he, I mean, for a year, he sat there and did nothing. Now, he could have blasted them every single day, and he didn't. And now the only recourse, really, it might be to stack the courts. There's nothing in the Constitution that says only 9 members sit on the court. They could, the next president could say, you know what, we're going to have 11 Supreme Court justices from here on out. But the Democrats need control of the Senate too.
Right. That's major. And I don't know if that'll happen.
Yep.
And the other thing is, I think I was really thinking about this because I keep hearing, yeah, Obama didn't stand up for Merrick Garland nearly enough. He just kind of let it happen. I haven't heard at least too many people say, or anybody say, I think it's because everybody assumed Hillary Clinton would win.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And so they didn't, they thought, why waste his political capital fighting for Merrick Garland when Hillary Clinton will be in there appointing somebody who she wants?
Right. Yep. They were just too cocky.
Yes.
And it went from Hillary Clinton on down, this cockiness, this, you know, well, we're going to win anyway, so we don't really have to worry about it. That's their excuse for everything. That's their excuse why they didn't, you know, raise more flags about Russian intervention, because Mitch McConnell told him not to. But he thought, you know what, Hillary's going to win and then she can take over. That you can't think that way.
No, never. I really hope the Democrats have learned something from this, because they don't seem to in a lot of other things. They just keep making the same mistakes. Oh, my God. Okay, moving on to Rudy Caluti. Mm-hmm. This is from ProPublica or Publica. I don't remember how to say these names. They had a long thread, but I just want to read, I think, just 2 tweets. So Rudy's now arrested colleagues gave a whole. Oh, so I wanted to add something to something you said before I even get into this.
Yeah,
you were talking about Rudy and the 2 guys that got arrested.
Yeah,
going to Vienna, you know, potentially going to Vienna.
Vienna, yeah.
Well, as I said, Firdash, the oligarch, mm-hmm. is stuck in Vienna because he's under arrest or whatever it is over there. He's got some legal issue. I wish I had my mind encyclopedia working, but he's stuck there. He can't leave. So the only way they can see him and his money, because he's very, very rich because of Putin, is to go to Vienna to meet with him. So my suspicion,
right.
And Rachel Maddow mentioned this too, was that that's where they were going. They were like, why would they be going to Vienna? Because that's where Firdash is.
Oh.
That's where the money is.
Yep. Gotcha. I see.
Who's pulling some strings? Firdash. And who, I tweeted something else I wish I'd saved, that Firdash, one of the 2, was working for Firdash directly. So, yeah, there's, I think the tie ends up, connecting to Firdash somehow.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that'll be a main thing.
Yeah.
Anyway. So to read ProPublica. So Rudy's now arrested colleagues gave a whole bunch of money to a Trump group. The chair of that group, a Don Jr. hunting buddy named Tommy Hicks Jr. We've reported on Hicks and the really great access he had to the administration. And they link to this this paragraph. Tommy Hicks Jr., 41, isn't a government official. He's a wealthy private investor. And he has been a part of discussions related to China and technology with top officials from Treasury, National Security Council, Commerce Department, and others, according to emails and documents obtained by ProPublica. In one email, Hicks refers to a meeting at Langley, an apparent reference to the CIA headquarters. One more thing. Tommy Hicks Jr., who headed the pro-Trump group that Rudy's colleagues allegedly funneled money to, was also a vice chair of Trump's inauguration committee and is now the co-chair of the Republican National Committee. There are going to be so many people tied into this. So many people. I read somewhere on one of the tweets that went by, hundreds of people are going to be pulled into this mess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Oh. There's a very tangled web in there.
Jim LaPorta of Newsweek just tweeted an exclusive developing story. Turkey bombs U.S. special forces in Syria attack apparently by mistake.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't mean to laugh. It's just...
It's a dark laughter. I totally get that.
Oh, my God.
If you don't laugh, you cry. That's why God laughs.
Yeah,
gotta
exactly.
Laugh or you cry.
Oh, my fucking God.
And then Zoe Tillman just tweeted, here's some legal news we will not be getting today. DOJ and plaintiffs in two California census citizenship question cases were set to tell a judge today if they'd reached a deal on attorney fees, but they've gotten additional extensions. So there's 2020 census questions still up in the air, just to keep everybody up to date on that. Okay, here's something that didn't get all that much attention. Trump lashes out at Fox News poll as Barr meets with Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that's from the New York Times. It says Attorney General William Barr met privately Wednesday evening with Rupert Murdoch, the media mogul who is one of President Trump's frequent confidants, but whose Fox News is viewed by the president as more hostile toward him than it used to be. The meeting was held at Murdoch's home in New York.
Yep.
Can you believe all this bullshit? My God.
I believe
the
it.
Corruption. Also something, when I went to the Rachel Maddow,
a book appearance.
I was so disappointed that she didn't sign because we wanted to talk to her again. But anyway.
I guess she doesn't have Elizabeth Warren's stamina.
Well, you should see the number of people that were there.
I've seen Elizabeth Warren's 4-hour long lines and she does it.
I know, but she wasn't on crutches. Rachel apparently has been on crutches for 3 months because she twisted an ankle, trying to untwist, and then got a bone jammed into it. So she really was hobbling around, and I could totally understand her not wanting to sit there and at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
she's not running for president. She doesn't have to do that. But she was saying how the word corruption is being, overused by Trump to muddle the word.
His new thing is in calling the media corrupt. It's no longer fake news. It's the corrupt news media.
Bingo.
And his whole thing, he's proven it, is, repetition. The way advertising works on radio and television is by impressions. It works this way with songs, too. I'll give you a hint in music radio. The reason that songs are rotated, it'll play 70 times a week or more on top 40 stations, because you need to hear something, I forget the number, like 20 times before it even makes an impression. Well, that's what he does with his fake news, with his nicknames for everyone. He's, as much as I can't stand him, and I don't think he's a smart man at all, he's clever, he's cunning in that he understands how branding works, and he knows you keep repeating things over and over again. That's what the no collusion bullshit was about. And that's what this corrupt use of the word corrupt is about, because he wants to rebrand the media, not as fake anymore, but now corrupt. Exactly. And Sin City in the YouTube chat room says, because he is corrupt, because it's projection. This is what he does.
Always projection. What's my mantra?
Yep.
Everything out of Trump's mouth is a lie and or projection. I think I've tweeted that thing 150 times.
I'm your rubber. You're glue. Everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you.
I'm Trump.
Okay, so this was an interesting story. Lindsey Graham got really punked.
The phony phone call?
Yes. So this is from Sudeep Reddy of Politico.
Okay.
Lindsey Graham thought he was talking to the Turkish defense minister. It was actually Russian pranksters. Graham called the Kurds a threat to Turkey and mentioned Trump's personal interest in a Turkish bank case. Oh, thanks so much for calling me, Mr. Minister, Graham said. I want to make this a win-win if we can. And then I pulled some excerpts. The substance of Graham's conversation with Stolyarov, who was posing as the Turkish defense minister, is newly relevant in light of the South Carolina senator's push for sanctions on Turkey as punishment for their offensive against the Kurds in northern Korea. The prankster's conversation with Graham, a Trump ally who is the president's ear on national security issues, also raises obvious questions about potential security breaches. Graham also expressed sympathy for Turkey's Kurdish problem and describe the Kurds as a threat. Those private comments appear to contradict his public statements this week. The pranksters managed to get Graham on the phone again a few days after the first call. In the second call, Graham said he met with Trump to discuss what the defense minister, in quotes, the fake defense minister, had told him. We want a better relationship with Turkey. That's exactly what he wants. Graham told the pranksters, I think President Trump likes President Erdogan. I think he's a strong man, and we need to deal with strong people.
Oh, my God. Well, that's all he wants to be, is a strong man, like Erdogan and Duterte and Putin, and the list goes on. By the way, breaking news, ABC News is matching CNN's reporting that the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, is a subject of the criminal investigation that has already resulted in the arrest of two of his associates.
Yeah, that's true. CNN came out with it yesterday, and then today ABC matched it, and I got so excited I tweeted it twice and asked everybody's forgiveness for my redundance because I was so happy.
Yeah, I didn't see that earlier. There's so much news going on that, I mean, shit just keeps flying by me as I'm trying to stay on top of everything.
I know. Every time I start to like type a tweet, I look over and I see another tweet that I've got it. Oh my God, there's more news breaking.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's an interesting one that didn't even get mentioned on TV yesterday, but it got a lot of attention on Twitter. Arizona Republican accused of smuggling women into the U.S. and paying them to give up their babies. Paul D. Peterson, the Republican assessor of Maricopa County, Arizona, is facing a long list of charges that includes human smuggling, fraud, the sale of a child, forgery, and conspiracy to commit money laundering. Pro-life my ass.
Yeah. No. I hear you.
My God.
Yeah. Ugh, God.
Not a word on the air. As far as I've seen, not one report about that. That is, to me, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. But again, the problem is, and I think this is in part strategy on the Trump camp's part, which is throw as much shit against the wall as possible. And, you know, we'll sneak a couple of things by because they can't possibly cover it all.
No, that's true. That is true. Although this, I wouldn't say, has anything to do with Trump directly,
right.
Although I'm sure he approves. But it's just one of those stories that got left behind because, like you said, there's so much other stuff out there.
Right, exactly. Hey, by the way, I didn't watch it last night. I've been kind of busy the last month or so. But, you know, on CNN, they had their LGBTQ forum. Did you hear Elizabeth Warren's answer?
Yes. Do you have the clip?
Yes. I have to play this because I haven't had a chance to play it all day. And
so
I want to share this with you. So people, they're taking questions. I'll just play. This is a question for Elizabeth Warren.
Thank you so much. Hi, Senator. Thank you for being here. Let's say you're on the campaign trail and you're approached.
Been.
You have been. Yes. and a supporter approaches you and says, Senator, I am old fashioned and my faith teaches me that marriage is between one man and one woman. What is your response?
Well, I'm going to assume it's a guy who said that. And I'm going to say, then just marry one woman. I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that. I love that. And wait, she's got another period at the end of the statement here.
Assuming you can find one.
Boom! Boom!
Wham!
assuming you can find one. Oh, spot on. And you know what she's good at is the timing, in addition to getting the zinger out. And honestly, that's something that Joe Biden doesn't have. He doesn't have the time. And somebody the other night, I don't remember who it was, explained what the problem is. He doesn't speak in a linear fashion. He's very much like Donald Trump on that front, where he'll say three words and then pivot to something else, and then something that it descends into word salad. If you look at a transcript of what he said, it doesn't make sense. Elizabeth Warren speaks in full sentences. She has a point to make. It's a beginning, middle, and an end. Bernie Sanders does as well. They don't speak in word salad. Joe Biden does, just like Donald Trump.
Right, it's a bunch of non sequiturs, and also Elizabeth Warren. This whole argument about she's not electable, she won't hold her own in a debate. With that quick a mind and that kind of a zinger, you know, zinger on top of another zinger, I think she'll just do fine. She's been doing great in the
debates. She's been doing great. She does great on the campaign trail. She does great in her stump speeches. Look, I know she's taking incoming from again the Twitter faction of the Bernie Sanders supporters who just have a scorched earth policy of presidential elections. It's my guy or nobody. And if you don't vote for Bernie, then we're going to burn the whole thing down. That's what it seems to be. And it's more and more frustrating with each passing day. I've blocked so many people that actually in 2016 are people that I commiserated with. I just can't stand the ugliness.
That's exactly what I went through in 2016 with friends of mine who were doing exactly as you're saying, who I was fine with for years, and all of a sudden, bang. And so I blocked the hell out of everybody. And that's why this year, we've talked about, I posted a pinned tweet. A pinned tweet stays at the top of your page on Twitter so people see it
first. Yeah, I have
one
of those too now. Doesn't seem to do any good. They just they try to taunt me with it. So I either block them or mute them so I don't see it anymore.
See, it worked for me. I have had, fingers crossed, but I have had virtually no problem.
Oh,
with I've had
coming
to
my stream for a while.
Woo! Oh, I know. I've Woo-hoo! Seen. This is Judge Block's rule making it harder for immigrants who rely on public assistance. We did that one.
Yep,
okay, I'm just seeing all these pop-ups in my alerts. Anyway. Angry staffer, angry White House staff on Twitter said, "Let's see if I've got this right. Barr tips Trump off.
Mm-hmm.
Trump tells Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
Rudy tells friends.
Uh-huh.
Friends aren't
flee
fast
the country.
they just weren't fast enough.
That's
they just
right.
didn't make it on. Could you imagine if they had busted them when they were at the table with Rudy?
Ooh, that would have been good. But
wouldn't that have been
they
great
got him
video?
At the airport though, because this way we know they had their one-way tickets to Vienna. And they were ready to flee the country. That's a lot more damning than sitting at lunch with Rudy Giuliani. Then again, I don't know how anyone can eat looking at his face, but, that's just me.
And he's been through people who married him. I can't believe anybody would marry him.
By the way, I got to mention, I made a mistake. I said I thought his wife was Judith Regan, the publishing person. It's a different Judith, whom he moved into Gracie Mansion when he was mayor of New York and announced it in a press conference. And that's how his second wife learned that he was divorcing her.
Daddy, how can you hire Rudy Giuliani? He's so ugly.
Have you seen me? Have you seen me?
Daddy, I think you're so handsome.
Well, of course you do, because I pay you to say that.
I know, and I've bought some brand new gowns. I cut my hair. Did you notice I cut my hair, Daddy? Oh, I'm getting your sniff. Oh, no. Oh, crap, Daddy.
By the way, somebody gave me a hard time because when I do the Trump sniffs, occasionally I'm congested a little bit. And so someone went off on me because I have snot in my nose when I sniff in when I'm trying to read something. People can be such assholes, just so you know. This kind of incoming I get.
I have assholery directed at me regularly. I totally get that. Oh, God. Okay, so I'm going to lead in with my own quote from the Washington Post from 2017.
Okay.
Quote. This is a quote now. A quote. There are two people I think Putin pays. Rohrabacher and Trump, said Kevin McCarthy,
right,
according to recording on June 15, 2016. Some of the lawmakers laughed at McCarthy's comment. Then McCarthy quickly added, swear to God. Okay, now here's the Ross Story tweet. Rudy Giuliani's indicted Ukraine henchmen gave thousands to Kevin McCarthy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, they did.
Is that a perfect follow-up?
You know what? They also gave thousands to Florida's governor, Ron DeRacist.
That's right.
DeSantis is his name, but we call him Ron DeRacist for short. Because it puts the description and the name all in one. And he's now scrambling to return the $50,000.
Yes, a few people are.
Yep.
According to Catherine Rampell, so will Jim Jordan, Marco Rubio, Kevin McCarthy, and others who tied themselves in knots over the past week. Trump apparently just announced a very substantial phase one deal with China, which includes intellectual property. Where is it? I couldn't get through because it was an alert and it didn't go all the way through where,
right,
the words stopped.
Oh, uh-huh.
Anyway, but it's not a comprehensive deal. So, of course, he manipulates the stock market again.
Right. Yep.
Through the roof right now.
Is it?
And it's like last time I saw it, let me see. I have it right here in my, it's right now at, it dropped again. It was at 5-something. Now it's at 403. The Dow is up 403, NASDAQ up 128. Anyway, but it was so manipulative and so obvious, and he does this every time he's in trouble. Noah Schachman of, what does he write for? Daily Beast.
Uh-huh.
He says exclusive new potential whistleblowers are coming forward to the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry, congressional sources say.
Uh-huh. I believe there are a lot of whistleblowers. I think the dams are opening. I think, to use just a bunch of metaphors, the dominoes are falling. The floodgates have opened. The cracks in the ceiling have cracked. Whatever. I think it's going to start snowballing. I hope. I really hope.
I think I get that. You just feel the momentum right now.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I feel like we're at the dam, like we're standing where the dam trickle is starting to turn into like a little bit of a flood, and pretty soon it's just going to blast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somebody yesterday said it was like a fire hose, somebody on TV.
Ooh. Okay.
So
let's hope. Let's hope.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Noah Schachman.
Wait,
okay.
I want to play something else for you. You know, out of Trump's thing, they all run together. What he did, that stupid press conference he did the other day. And the one clip that's getting all the notice, of course, I've played it here, is when he talks about, the Kurds didn't help us in Normandy. When actually, now the word is coming out that they did help us in World War II, just saying. But because that one got all the attention, this one has not gotten any attention. And every time I hear it, he's such an idiot. He's such an uneducated dolt. So he said this. Just listen to his framing here.
Out of the 28 countries, 20 of them are delinquent. You know what the delinquent means? That's an old real estate term.
No,
he's
not.
Delinquent with his rent. They're delinquent with their payment.
He's delinquent with his rent. It's a real estate term. Delinquent is not a real estate term. Oh, my God. And his one association he makes with it is they're delinquent with their rent.
Reciprocal. Oh, my God.
Right? I see. It's the things like that that really get me. He is just such a fucking moron.
Going back to our flood thing, our little fire hose thing we were just saying.
Yeah. No.
Our buddy Tom Sullivan,
uh-huh,
who blogs with Digby,
yep,
he said Trump doesn't have enough stubby fingers to plug the leaks springing from this dike. And he's talking about the impeachment inquiry and how a Maryland governor, Larry Hogan, a Republican, became the second sitting Republican governor to announce support for an impeachment inquiry. So, he doesn't have enough stubby fingers to plug the leaks springing from this dike. Meanwhile, I wanted to talk to you a little bit because you mentioned it about PG&E. They apologized to their customers. We were not adequately prepared, they said. Oh, thank you so very much to everybody who doesn't have electricity. My God. Bill Johnson admitted during a Thursday evening press conference that the utility thoroughly botched its public safety power shutoff, apologizing to customers. It marked the first time the company's had publicly addressed the shutdown. We faced a choice between hardship on everyone or safety, and we chose safety. Well, you know why they had to do that? Because the grid is not up to snuff.
Of course not. It's infrastructure. We need infrastructure week. Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
We need infrastructure year.
I don't know why my husband is calling me, but I just hung up on him. We got like a minute left.
Okay.
I don't know what he's calling about. But but are you safe from the fires? I mean, my friend friend Vanessa, I'm seeing them all on Facebook. This fire began last night at 9 o'clock. LA time. By 2 o'clock in the morning, it had spread to 1,600 acres. By 3:30 in the morning, it was at 4,600 acres. This thing has jumped over the five. Hold on. Why are you calling me on this line? Oh, David says delinquent is a real estate term. Okay.
No, but
uses for it. It's not just a real estate term. It's a word.
Yeah.
Being late is being delinquent.
Right. It's a word. It's a commonly used word.
Okay.
But yeah, okay.
Right.
The fires
Thank you, David.
Are far,
Gotta
far
go
away.
Bye.
Bye, David. That was fun.
Yeah.
He does that.
Yes, he does.
I actually like when he does that.
No, I like when he calls in too. But, I looked, he called in on the right line. But to bring him in, we've got a minute left. So delinquent, there are juvenile delinquents as well. They are not, houses for rent. Just saying.
Right. Anyway, back to fires. They're far, far away from me, but they're horrible. My kids, who were only 20 minutes from me, but they're in the San Fernando Valley, they were wearing masks over their face because of the smoke for a while. Now it's fine, they said. But for a little while, they were being very careful about what they were inhaling.
Wow. Yeah.
And they're far away, too, from the fires.
Wow.
There's one in Sylmar.
Yes, like in Northridge, Sylmar up there. But apparently it jumped over the five to where, two of my friends were worried in the middle of the night last night that they needed to evacuate. They were all packed up and ready to go as soon as they got the word.
Been there, done that. It's no fun.
I hear you. I've done it, too. When I lived on Santa Monica Beach, I remember one year the fires in Malibu were so bad, and I was watching them as they were coming down the coast. And again, I had my car packed up and ready to go. Thankfully, they never made it down as far as I was. But, and that was 20 years ago. They've only gotten worse since.
Can I jump in with something that relates to nothing?
Yes.
I have a pet peeve about the news, all the people on the news calling...
Gentlemen.
Yes, thank you. Calling the thugs.
They're thugs. They're not gentlemen. I hate that. They'll refer to a murderer. Rachel Maddow is one of the worst defenders of that. They are men. They're not gentlemen.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. It drives me also, other pet peeve, today's pet peeve.
Yeah.
How every single hour of MSNBC today played a segment of Trump's ego rally. And all there was no news. It was just him calling names, Biden names, and calling him a kiss ass and everything. There was no reason to put that up there. Could have reported that he called them names.
I have a project that I want to embark on, but I think I need a few volunteers to help out because I can't do this myself. I want to watch for a week MSNBC from like 6 a.m. to 11 p.m. and keep a note of who their guests and paid contributors and analysts are, because I guarantee you they'd be so top heavy with never Trumpers and Republicans, and the amount of left wingers or Democrats or God forbid progressives, I promise you, is minuscule by comparison. But I don't have the scientific evidence. So if anyone wants to join in on a research project, we can combine forces so we don't all have to watch all day. But that's something I really want to do.
I do it on a rolling basis, but nothing that's that
No, it's
got
to be comprehensive to get a scientific count. So, I don't know. We'll talk about it in the future. Gotta Laugh. Okay. We're at the end of the hour. Find Laffy on Twitter @ Gotta Laugh. And here on Tuesday. You'll be back Tuesday. All right. And I'm going to run. It's Friday. I got to go do the broadcast for the last time for now. And I'm going to go out and help some dogs get adopted this weekend. So do something that takes you away from politics, because you need to clear your head from all this ugliness. Okay? It's good for the soul. Volunteer. For me, I do it at the animal shelter. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend.